This morning I thought for our jokes I'd share some of the memes that have been going around on Facebook about Princess Bride. And if you watched Princess Bride, you will get some of these memes. If you did not watch Princess Bride this week, you're going to be a little lost. But that's okay. So here's a couple of the memes that were up this week. Going to the grocery store to get bread and then get used to disappointment. If the Princess Bride were remade today, haha, you fool, you fell victim to one of the classic blunders, the most famous of which is never get involved in the comments section on the internet. That moment when you realize that Wesley from the Princess Bride called the 2020 quarantine, why do you wear a mask? Were you burned by acid or something like that? Oh no, it's just that they're terribly comfortable. I think everyone will be wearing them in the future. Waking up every morning in 2020, be like, let's see, where were we? Oh yes, in the pit of despair. Quarantine is what keeps us from being together today. Kids, I wish spring break was longer. Coronavirus, as you wish. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You took all the toilet paper. Prepare to die. When you go the wrong direction down a grocery store aisle, boo, 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 rubbish, filth, slime, muck, boo. And finally, you keep using that word, I don't think it means what you think it means. And that's in reference to the word inconceivable. So the movie is really a love story. I know people don't like to hear that, but it really, at its core, is a story about true love. And the question I have for you today is true love inconceivable? In our movie this week, we see a love story. At its heart, we find a man and a woman who experience true love. It starts with a stable boy who falls in love with a girl named Buttercup. They fall in love, and the stable boy goes off to earn money so that he can come back and marry Buttercup. Things don't go as planned, and Buttercup is told that the stable boy, whose name is Wesley, has been killed. 5 years later, Buttercup is the unwilling fiancé of the prince, Prince Humperdinck. She doesn't love Humperdinck, but she doesn't have a choice in the matter. He's the prince, and he decides who he's going to marry. Wesley gets back in the picture when Buttercup gets kidnapped. Turns out Wesley wasn't dead after all. He comes to save her, and true love has brought them together again. Things go forward, and Wesley is killed by Humperdinck, but fortunately, Wesley is only mostly dead. He's taken to a miracle worker named Miracle Max, who can bring Wesley back to life if he is hanging on for a good reason. He finds out that the good reason he's hanging on is true love. So true love has kept him from being fully dead, and Miracle Max is able to revive him, and in the end, Wesley and Buttercup live happily ever after. The whole movie then is focused around their true love, and there's a lot of funny things that happen in between all of that that I've shared with you. If you haven't seen the movie, it's one of my favorites. I encourage you to go check that out. Wesley battles many people in situations to get to Buttercup, and Buttercup has to do her own share of work to get safely back to Wesley. And when we talk about true love, and specifically about love in general, there's no greater example of love than God himself. Certainly, culture tells us that true love is only found in another person. But in reality, true love is found only in a relationship with God. People are going to disappoint you. No matter how in love you feel with someone at the moment, they are going to let you down. They are going to disappoint you. It's not going to be roses and cupcakes forever and happily ever after. Okay? Love endures those things. But true love is found only in Christ. God is always there, always present, and always by your side. And in order to really understand how big God's love is, I think it would be helpful to get an idea of how big God is. And so when you ask the question, how big is God, you get a lot of different answers. And in fact, the answer is truly inconceivable. But here's a place in creation, and this is specifically the universe and the universes that God has created. It's a short film by Ichthus Films, which talks about how vast the universe is to give us an idea about how big and how vast God is and God's creation is. So we'll go ahead and show that short video by Ichthus Films.
Ever since man first looked into the night sky, He knew that he was a part of something much, much bigger than himself. The vastness of the heavens was incomprehensible. The breadth of it all spoke of things eternal. And in looking at the heavens, man believed that perhaps he was really looking into the face of God. From Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. So where are we in this place called the universe? Our moon is our nearest neighbor, 250,000 miles away. Our sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. The solar system is flying through space at 134 miles per second, spinning as it goes. It is a part of a vast collection of stars and star systems. Scientists estimate as many as 200 billion stars are a part of this collection called the Milky Way galaxy. Saturn, of the 9 planets in our solar system, is over 1 billion miles away. It is 1,000 times the size of our Earth. Of the 200 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy, 6 billion of these stars have planetary systems like ours. Every star we can see in the night sky lies within the realm of our own galaxy. Voyager 1 is now the most distant human-made object in space. It was launched in 1977, traveling at a speed of 40,000 miles per hour. It is just now arriving at the edge of our solar system. The sun there is only 1/5,000th as bright as here on Earth, so it is extremely cold, and there is very little solar energy to provide electrical power. The fact that the spacecraft is still returning data is a remarkable surprise to our scientific community. Our solar system, containing the sun and the 9 orbiting planets, orbits the center of the Milky Way galaxy on just one of its outer spiraling arms. Our Milky Way galaxy, the home to our solar system, is just one of over 125 billion galaxies that make up the visible universe. Andromeda is the next closest galaxy. It is 10 million, million, million miles away from the Earth. Traveling at the speed of light, it would take 2 million years to reach Andromeda. Andromeda and the Milky Way form a small cluster of galaxies called the Local Group. Beyond the Local Group are even greater clusters of galaxies. Man has no knowledge whatever of what lies beyond this distance. From Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. From Colossians chapter 1, and Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Jesus and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. How big is God? The Bible declares that the endless eternal universe is just one of God's creations. As incomprehensible as that is for our minds to conceive, what may be even more unimaginable is that in the vastness of all that he has made, he loves you. And through Jesus Christ, his Son, the God of the universe, extends his hand and his love to you.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? How vast the universe is. The universes are, really. Everything we see and everything we can't see, God knows by name, and he created it. And he knows each of us by name, because he has created us. In the expanse of all creation, he knows you and he loves you and he cares about you. Luke 12 says, and the very hairs on your head are numbered. Now, for some people, it wouldn't take much to count the hairs on the head, but for a lot of us, it's an inconceivable number of hairs on our head. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us not to worry about the things of everyday life and listen to his reasoning. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for their heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? We are more valuable to God than all of creation. We are more valuable than the birds, more valuable than the wildflowers. And God takes care of them, so how much more so will he take care of us? You are valuable to God. God loves you and God cares for you. True love is recognizing what Jesus has done for you on the cross and responding with obedience, responding with love, responding with kindness, responding with doing the actions that God has called us to do. Jesus died on the cross so that we might be saved. He paid the price on the cross with his life for your sins and my sins. What greater love can that be than to sacrifice himself for us? But I've done too much, you say. I've sinned too much. I've wandered too far. But God says you haven't. In Luke 15, Jesus tells one of the most powerful stories and parables in the New Testament, the parable of the lost son. The younger son comes to the father, the two sons that he has. He says, Dad, basically, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance and I want it now. And so the father gives the son his inheritance, and the son immediately leaves his father's estate and goes out and lives a wild and rambunctious party lifestyle. He has people around him. He's enjoying it. He's living it up. But then, as all things do, it comes to an end and he runs out of money. When he runs out of money, suddenly he has no friends. They all desert him, and he's all alone in the world with nothing to his name. So he takes the job as a pig farmer. Pigs are unclean animals for Jews. So this was the worst job that he could possibly have. He takes the job, and he's still hungry, and he's so hungry that he considers eating the pig slop. He recognizes the fact that he has sinned against God and he has sinned against his father. And he realizes that even the lowest servant at his father's house at least has food and clothing and shelter. And so he decides to go back to his father, back to where he abandoned, back to where he was loved and cared for, to ask his father if he could just be a servant in his house. While he was still a long ways away, the father sees the son coming back toward the house. The father throws custom to the wind, and he runs to meet his son. He runs to see him. Scripture says that the father was filled with love and compassion. The son says to the father, "I have sinned against you in heaven. I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father calls the servants together, says, "Bring a ring for his finger, bring the finest robe that we have. My son is home, my son has returned." And he restores the son to his original place as a son of the father. He kills the fattened calf and they have a feast because he celebrates. That which was dead has come back to life. The son that had left, that had wished the father dead, was now back, was now found. What had been lost was found. What was dead has been brought back to life. And so the party begins. The whole story is really inconceivable when you think about it. Can you imagine if something similar happened today? Do you think that most people would welcome their son back with open arms? Some might, but some might not. They may make the son suffer a bit or may not welcome him back at all. After all, he wasted half your money, lived the life he wanted to, basically said, "I wish you were dead." But when it's God, God's not like that. God accepts us back when we turn back to him. God doesn't judge us and tell us that we're not worthy of him. He welcomes us back with open arms. He wants to be united with his children. And who are his children? You and me. And God loves us so much that there's no sin that can keep us away from God's love. There's no sin that we can do that is so bad that God will say, "I'm sorry, you've sinned too much, I can't love you anymore." Do you believe that? Or do you believe something different? Do you believe that Jesus just tolerates you? Maybe Jesus puts up with you? Maybe Jesus doesn't dislike you? Maybe Jesus doesn't mind you? If you're thinking in those terms, you have a long ways to go in understanding God's love and understanding God's unending love for you. Listen to how Paul describes the inconceivable love of God. "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is the reckless love of God. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Corey Asbury sings a song called "Reckless Love." Listen to some of the lyrics. "Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me." God's love is never ending. It knows no limits. And as children of God, we can turn to him and come to him at any time. That is the gift that Jesus has given us through giving us and leaving us the Holy Spirit. We have a connection to God through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, that came because Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life and have a relationship with God.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.